You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the course of the latest Trump administration, numerous international organizations have found themselves in the president's crosshairs. The latest is the World Trade Organization, with the US bandying about a set of reforms that would consolidate their influence over the organization and reduce the limitations placed upon them. I spoke with Professor Emeritus in Law at the University of Auckland, Jane Kelsey, about these reforms, particularly in regards to how New Zealand is positioning ourselves in these changes and what they'll mean for us. Just to get us started, as it stands, how kind of does the WTO operate for countries like New Zealand?
The WTO, when it was set up in 1995, was meant to set global rules for how countries trade with each other. And those rules have always been set by the bigger, more powerful players. But for countries like New Zealand, the rule that each country should get the same benefits and have the same standing and authority in the organisation was seen as giving New Zealand as a small country a better deal than if it was trying to do it all on its own, just one by one with other countries.
So what then? We're currently looking at the Trump administration bringing forth sort of changes to how the WTO is run. What actually are these changes?
As people will have seen, President Trump has come in and kind of thrown a grenade into many international spaces, including into the trade space, by saying if other countries don't give him what he wants, he will impose taxes on their goods as they come into the US. Those are known as tariffs. And that's contrary to the rules of the World Trade Organization, that where countries are meant to promise stable taxes or tariffs for all countries, treating them basically the same. But the US now is unhappy with the WTO because it says China doesn't play by the rules, which is not actually quite correct. But, of course, China has become a competitor for the US, so the US doesn't want to play the game anymore. It's thrown its toys out of the sandpit. But it's not just the US. Some other countries also have taken advantage of the US tantrum and are seeking to change the rules to benefit themselves as well.
And so if these changes to these rules go through, in full or in part, what sort of impacts would we see on the integrity of how the WTO can actually function, or just how it functions?
There was a very interesting speech by Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney at the recent World Economic Forum, who conceded that the rules of the WTO have always been skewed towards the interests of richer countries. And so there have been pressures from poorer countries for years to try to rebalance that process. What's happened now with the disruption that Trump has brought into the organization is that the a whole range of countries are saying, oh, these are the changes to the rules that we want now. Unfortunately, developing countries' interests have been marginalized in that process, and richer countries, including New Zealand, have been saying we want new rules that, for example, don't require the consensus of everyone to agree to these global rules, that allow us to have subgroups making rules for ourselves on our favoured topics and so on. So the notion of a global regime is now being fractured but remade in the interests of richer countries, including, to some extent, New Zealand.
And with that said then, if we look towards these rule changes, are we likely to come out the other side as a winner in these changes, or are we likely to suffer as a result of this kind of regime all breaking down?
I think a cost-benefit analysis of these changes in the WTO misses the point. The point is that This was supposed to be a set of global rules that everyone would run by. If you start fracturing it and saying some countries will make rules amongst themselves, which is what's been happening with kind of free trade agreements, not the WTO, and if countries say they won't make rules on those that they don't like, which is mainly richer countries saying they don't want to level up the playing field for poorer countries, then we can effectively forget about the WTO. There will be no global set of rules. New Zealand is kind of trying to say, well, we can reshape some of these rules that might work better for us, but we don't want changes to others. It's a bit player in this process. It will basically take whatever the big players, the US, the EU, to some extent Australia, but it's mainly being driven by the US and the EU, whatever new global regime they want. And so New Zealand needs to think about whether this model itself is broken, and whether we need to think about different ways of approaching how we do trade rules and trade agreements, in particular in the context of things like the climate crisis and the major geopolitical changes happening in the world.
You've said that this will kind of impact our ability to react to the climate crisis appropriately. How can the collapse of the WTO, like how will this impact that urgent need to approach climate change?
The model the WTO works on is about trading in commodities to generate economic growth and profits. That is not a model that factors in the climatic destruction that we see from that model. And we've got it most recently in these arguments about mining of critical minerals and developing of deals on critical minerals, which we are told is a solution to the climate crisis, but in fact involves digging up the subsea structures and the land to pull out minerals, to process them, to produce electronic vehicles and so on. It doesn't address the fundamentals of the climate crisis of areas like food production or how we develop a level of self-sufficiency when transportation systems and so on are not viable. And so the model itself is not capable of dealing with this and in fact is exacerbating it. And that's part of the argument that's currently before the Waitangi Tribunal in the Climate Claim Priority Inquiry, where a Māori entity, Ngā Tōke Whakarururanga, is drawing these connections between the impacts for Māori that we're seeing just around the country now and the kind of antithetical model that these trade agreements promote.
With that said then, looking at how New Zealand should approach this, should we be concerned with kind of maintaining our and the WTO's integrity in the kind of trade space? Or is it kind of a how can we move forward in a way that isn't detrimental to the rest of the world, I guess?
Those of us like myself who've been critics of the WTO since it was established as being basically a rules-based system made by and for richer countries have said this kind of implosion was bound to happen and have been urging there to be a kind of first principles debate within Aotearoa on how we should address our own economy and our economic relations with other countries, as well as global rule setting. What we've had here for the last 30 years has been a very neoliberal or market-driven approach, which is partly what's behind the implosion, because it hasn't actually worked And it's left a lot of people behind. We need to have a discussion now here, especially in the context of the climate crisis, about what the future should look like in our own domestic economy and how we trade with other countries and what are the kind of relationships that we want there. Unfortunately, we are a long way away from having those discussions, which are becoming more and more urgent.
Looking at those discussions and looking at the future of New Zealand in this kind of global trade space, is this kind of a wake-up call to rethink how we've approached neoliberalism in both the global and domestic spaces? Is this somewhere that we really should be paying attention for our own sakes?
When people look at what's happening in Trump land, often they focus just on the craziness of the president. But underpinning that is a recognition that the neoliberal model has failed. Markets benefit basically rich players, whether they're richer countries, but also richer corporations, and they leave people behind. They're also not suited for the climate crisis. They're not suited to balance social and development imperatives alongside those of profit. And so in Aotearoa, as in the US, we see many of these features. If we don't have the debate about alternatives now, we are going to be scrambling with more and more of these crises. So the collapse of the WTO, as it is rolling out, is another of these symptoms of a sick model that we really do need to revisit.
That was Professor Emeritus in Law at the University of Auckland, Jane Kelsey, on what the changing WTO may mean for New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.